And joining us now in our studios is Northfield City Administrator Ben Martig. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Jeff.
Happy Thanksgiving a little bit early.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. That means we're rapidly approaching the end of the year, which means we're rapidly watching you guys work, get a lot of stuff done before the end of the year. There's a lot of things to do to wrap up 2018. And last night you had the last regular meeting of November. And kind of set the table for the things you'll be doing in December. Let's start off with something that we're going to be hearing more about, I'm sure, in the future. But the Northfield Hospital and Clinics are proposing an expansion of their birth center and clinic area. And it's going to cost, is that about $13 million? Is that what the price tag of that is?
That's right. Yep, $13
million. You got a presentation last night from the president, CEO, Steve Underdahl. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Jerry Ean was also in, our chief operating officer for the hospital as well, and the hospital board has been working for this for some time in their strategic priorities. Basically, they're out of space at the hospital related to the clinic and the OB department. So the good news is the clinic services are growing along with the OB needs for our baby deliveries, and so they've been really planning on looking at an expansion. Pretty interesting. They have 550 births a year that they can do, so it's pretty large for a community our size to have that number of births. And they'll be able to go over 750 a year if they do the expansion, which would kind of be a two-level expansion off of where they have the OB currently at the facility. And they talked about the intention that because of the design of the space, they'd have to do two levels, so they'd have a build-out option on the lower part of that for future needs related to the hospital. But the clinic base is an expansion right to the north of the existing clinic space. So with that, they'll be able to improve access to the facility. They'll be able to improve referral services and improve some of the exam rooms. They talked about, too, like on the birth center where you can't always plan how many babies you're going to be having, deliveries you're going to be dealing with. It does take up other space that they have, kind of in emergency areas or in surgical areas. And so that'll also be able to free up some of the work there. So as you talked about, it's a $13 million project. If the approvals go forward, again, municipal hospital, so it's a city hospital, the board is going to be reviewing it next week at their regular meeting for the hospital board. If they take action and make recommendations, it would come back to the city council for approval in December. And the reason the council would be approving that is the city council retains certain authorities related to, one of those authorities relates to expansion of existing facilities, so the council would have to have a resolution. So if everything were to fall in place, their goal would be ultimately to move forward in spring of next year with construction with that. And they're not looking at issuing any debt. They're looking at utilizing cash reserves to fund these projects. And they talked a lot about the fiscal responsibility and financial planning that they did along with this project as well.
Boy, they're going to cash on the barrel head. Wow.
Yeah, and they got into that detail. So, when they're able to plan this out, and they did talk about really needing to prioritize those dollars on really getting the design that's most efficient and effective to achieve their goals with it.
All right. And that really, healthcare has changed so rapidly in so many different ways. I know mothers kind of shop around for places to have babies now. You don't just go to the local hospital. As evident, 550 births is a lot for just Northfield, but we're drawing from the Southern Metro and some of the smaller communities as well. So things a little different there.
Yeah, and the Steve Underdahl, the CEO, also talked, when you talk about technology and things are changing, he said they even take into consideration that there's movement as well, looking at like video remotely being able to see your doctor. You obviously can't do that on a birth, but there might be some clinic needs where you can maybe do that. And so they said, they're also looking down the road at their investments too, to say how are things changing from a technology standpoint.
All right, we're talking once again about last night's City Council meeting with Northfield City Administrator Ben Martig. Also in the studio now is Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell. Good morning.
Good morning,
Jeff. And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
All right.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's here tomorrow. Let's talk about the next item, the resolution approving a family and parental leave. We've talked about this. This has been kind of kicked around for quite a while. It seems like every meeting this is on the discussion list. Where did the discussion lead last night?
Yeah, so it's a continuation of our review with this, and really what we're looking at doing is We have federal protections under the Family Medical Leave Act that guarantees people unpaid leave for up to 12 weeks in a major event related to medical event and also related to kind of birth situations. But we also have had discussions with the council about, you know, as those people are dealing with leave, you might have accruals related to sick leave if you're a full-time employee available to you to be able to take some time off unpaid, because it can really be a financial challenge for people, and we want to attract and retain good people. In addition to that, they've been discussing, should we look at adding family leave on top of a paid leave, on top of that, that would be available in these more serious types of events that might apply to kind of FMLA-related activities. So the council's been discussing a couple of options. These are not simple policies, so when you get into personnel policy, you really want to make sure that the policymakers have the options to them, but we also have it written correctly so we don't have to come back and do some changes. So, unfortunately, some of those things take a little bit more time, but I think there's been really good discussion at the City Council on that, and really looking at debating, you know, how many weeks should we have, and really looking at the caring for, particularly related to births and early childhood and caring for the mother and the baby as well, or in cases of adoption, looking at what's the appropriate amount of leave and really understanding what our benefits are. So, those have been an ongoing discussion. We didn't take action last evening, but there was ongoing good discussion with that.
All right. And Mayor Pownell, what are your thoughts on this now? Where are we as far as what direction would you like to see this go to?
Well, I think there are some good options on the table, Jeff. I think we added an additional one really last night that was really kind of difficult to clarify, but it's around supporting a mother who would have to go on bed rest or any sort of incapacity. I think it's in the FMLA policy to provide support for pregnancy, either pre-birth or after birth. And that was something that isn't addressed in the council's current policy. So it's another aspect. We support dads that want to go home, and if their partner is on bed rest, right, this policy supports them. But what it doesn't support is employees as the mother that needs to go on bed rest. They would have to access sick time versus the dad or the partner who wants to go home and support a wife, partner that's on bed rest. They get paid time off. So we want to make sure that we're supporting both.
I'm not getting that. How would the wife or the husband or partner get paid time and the wife wouldn't? Is this for the same amount of time, or
that gets back to my earlier comment about you got to be really careful with the language, because the way the policy was originally written, it talked about caring for others but not caring for yourself as it relates to the event as the employee. So as the mayor talked, it was the draft language, even though I think a lot of us were assuming that would be a covered event, whether you were a woman employee or whether you were a male employee, that you would be able to be eligible either way. It wasn't technically written that way. The mayor caught that and noted that. So that was one of the policy areas, like, whoops, that's not the intention of that. We need to be treating people fairly on that and treating them equally on that. So that was a catch to say that was an intent. We need to make sure that the language is in there to do that as well. So, again, these can be very technical and legal as we look at it as well. So it's not only the policy discussion, but really looking at the fine-tuned language of what is it saying and what does it mean. It gets complicated, frankly, with HR-related things where you have these different accruals, you have voluntary benefits that employees might be able to choose from as well. So the council had ongoing discussion about, well, you can do paid short-term leave as well, and what's the cost of that. So these are not simple related policies to deal with, and hence, I think, a little longer discussion. But I think, as the mayor said, very good discussion, and I think really important to look at it.
You mentioned FMLA and playing a role in this. For our listeners who are not familiar with that or don't have that option, tell us what that is.
Well, FMLA is basically a federal protection, and it's I believe basically people are all entitled to that, and it's just basically a protection. I think it was back in the Clinton administration where they passed that leave, and it just provides protections. I think there's been emerging discussions about, is it time at a national level or state level to look at expanding some of those family-related benefits as kind of time goes on. But it basically gives you up to 12 weeks protected leave, so you can't basically terminate somebody for a serious medical event. So it provides some extra family protections with that. Of course, we know what we're talking about, again, is going a little beyond that and looking about how do we offer some paid leave with that, which the federal law does not provide those protections.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the budget, because the budget and levy are going to be presented, I guess, on the December 4th meeting. You'll have to do the approving on that, at least theoretically. You do have another week after that, if it doesn't come around, if I'm not mistaken. But where are we at with the budget?
Yeah, so we're looking at right now at about a 4.4% tax levy increase for 2019. So translating that for a $200,000 house, which we're seeing about an average increase in valuations of about 6.4%, that would translate to about $56 per year increase for the typical home, or about $5 per month. So, of course, this is a long process that we've been going through, about 6 months. We're looking at adding a couple positions in our Public Works Department related to helping to beef up our streets and parks operations, because we know that we've got staffing concerns there to take care of maintenance of that. We're looking at adding a police investigator position within that funding that we're able to accomplish. Related to kind of some other non-tax funds, we're able to increase some of our communications funding to be able to get a full-time communications person, which we've heard through our strategic planning process, in interest of the community to continue to get more information from us as it relates to our services and activities of the city. So really getting feedback from the council. The only thing I think mainly that might be changing, now the council could go up to a maximum of a 7% property tax levy increase. With that parental leave, there might be a little bit of an adjustment of that 4.4, or if the council were to propose other alternatives of other needs within that. But we really didn't get into a lot of discussion from the council related to adding anything beyond that. So I think that's probably pretty close. So that will be what our presentation's pretty much based on, and taking a look at the budget heading into December. The tax statements did come in the mail for Dakota County. I don't know if the Rice County people have received their notices yet, but they should be soon, this week probably even, if they haven't already. So on that, of course, you have school, city, county taxes. There's a phone number. There's the note of the hearing. So at the city council hearing, we talked just about the city council related budget. We're not there to talk about the school or the county on that. They have their own presentations that they go through. And I think there's a phone number contact, too, so that people have questions. You can contact our finance department. Brenda Engelstad or I can certainly help them. Because sometimes you can take a look at your valuation of your home. If you have a valuation question on your tax statement, that goes to the county assessing department. Anything related to the tax amount would be ours, but we can help explain that to people if they have questions on their statements.
All right. Mayor Pownell, what coming up on December the 4th, is the 4.4, is that going to come in a resolution form, or is that going to be decided or moved at that time?
Mm-hmm. I think that was specifically asked of the council last night. Were there any other recommendations for different resolutions that they wanted brought forward? And I didn't really hear much of anything, but the council ultimately can bring forward whatever they want.
There were a couple of councilors who weren't there last night, so yes, they might bring something as
right.
well. Yeah.
I think we've got a really solid budget. There's been multiple opportunities for us to have discussion on it, multiple opportunities to give feedback and input. Ultimately, we want the process to go as smoothly as possible, that once a motion is made to move a particular resolution, you debate it and vote it up or down, and you just move forward. But there's really a lot of good, solid information in there, and highly recommend people, if they have the time, to go back and look at the PowerPoint slides that were provided as part of last night's meeting. It really gives an overarching, bigger picture, includes school, county, and the city, I think, in there, just those three, right? School, county, and city. And just gives some perspective on where we are in terms of tax rates, what the money will be utilized for. So it's out there, and people can just encourage people to look at it if they want more info.
The 2019 Street Reclamation Project, you had a discussion on the assessments there. And Terry and I were talking about that earlier. That's not an easy formula. That's a tough thing to nail down. There are so many different variables that are involved with assessing properties. What was discussed last night?
Yeah, so we have an adopted policy that outlines how we do assessments, and state law really outlines that you have to show improvement of benefit value to your particular property to do a special assessment, and it's really our currently our primary financing tool as it relates to doing street infrastructure projects. So it's an ongoing debate, it seems like, annually about exactly how that's calculated, how do you try and create a fair formula across all of the assessment areas. So we took a preliminary look at the areas that are on our current project schedule, looking at the lots and how they laid out the types of uses, and how we might want to have different appraisals to take into consideration our policy and implementing that. There is some, I guess, variation within the assessment policy where you can take a look at things a little bit differently. Depending on the circumstances, there is some discretion in there on how you approach the assessment formulas with that of the city council. So I think we were intentional to take an early look into conversation on that, and I think that might help as staff works with the appraiser, to go forward and look at special appraisals to be done. There was really discussion of the council last night, but taking a look at that. As a side note, during our budget process as well, the council did talk about having an interest to continue to look at an alternative. Are there alternative ways to special assessments to do financing for our street projects? We are starting to research that at a staff level currently, and there are some options with that. So we're going to be looking at bringing that back forward as well. But as the council talked about last night, for this year's projects, we are going to be continuing to do that through our current assessment plans, but we're looking at as early as 2020. There might be an alternative way to do this, but we'll see in the future related to that.
All right. Anything to add?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly appreciate that. We'll let it go right there. You guys have a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy that, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks,
Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell, City Administrator Ben Mardick.